Morning. We are glad to have you with us. As we get started, would you tell us that you're with us by just a few keystrokes on your device, whether it's a phone, whether it's your computer or something, and let us know that you're there by just commenting, saying, hello, just glad to have you with us. We are grateful for you there. Can you believe it? I think if I counted correctly that we are in week 10 of our sheltering in place, week 10. Wow, can you believe it? I can't. That means that 10 weeks ago, we pivoted to an online presence, and I want to thank the team this morning who has really kind of continued to lead and allowed us to be in this place, the worship tech, and we have our new online team, and we're grateful for that, who has been just making this happen week in and week out. And grateful for you, glad you're healthy, glad that you're here. Hey, can anybody say with me, can you say, this has been a trial, a test, or even maybe a temptation during this period of time? Can you raise your hand, figuratively, can you raise your hand that this has been a trial, a test, or a temptation? Go ahead, and you can raise your hand online by just saying yes. Just say yes in the comments. This has been a trial, and this has been a test. Many of us have been tempted in real ways in these last few weeks, too. And we don't want to look that aside. And so, and some of you have even given in to those temptations and are wondering where your heart is in these days. Let's just take it into this thought. Some of you were or are avid watchers of Survivor. You know, that survival game where they take you, reality show, where they take you under the island and they give you all of these challenges and you have to survive them to win the game, right? Some of you have even desired to be on The Amazing Race. I don't even know if that's even on anymore, but we used to watch portions of that, and you know, you have different variables, you have a different card you have to pull, and then go find something, I guess, and all of these things. Some of us dreamed of being on that show or those shows. I mean, we thought we could withstand those deals. But here we are, we're in the real game, and maybe not of Survivor, but a real test of variables we don't know, and we have the tests and trials and temptations that are come with that, and these days are just one of those opportunities we can step up into it. Like some of you, I know, some of you have played the can we find it game, you know, whether it's food or other things. So you go to the grocery store, at least early on. Some of us were challenged to find the very basics of toilet paper and hand sanitizer and face masks. Now maybe because of whatever is blurbed into the news, it may be meat, and for some of us, it's even flour. We can't seem to find that. I mean, we were in a real-life hunt, right? I mean, we have been collectively, as a community and as a country, in a trial and a test of our lifetime. We've never seen anything like this, right? Fathers, what about you? How's your temperament these days? How is it with your kids? You have little ones running around. How is the peace, the patience, the gentleness, the self-control? These are tests of our very being, of our very souls. How about as men? How about as husbands? How's it going with your relationship with your spouse? A little tension there once in a while, a little opportunity to refine you as a person, to become more of what Jesus wants. Mothers, you have taken on an even greater role. Last week, we celebrated Mother's Day, and we should be celebrating that every day, as I believe, because in Proverbs 31, we're told that there's this woman who takes on all the spheres of the household. And if I know that there have been numbers run before that if she were to get paid, it would be in the millions of dollars. So mothers, how's it going balancing the household? The ability to give mercy when mercy needs to be extended, reserving judgment, and just simply loving your kids and maybe even your husband, right? Wives in that whole idea. Kids, how is this going for you if you're listening out there? How's the obedience factor? Are you listening to mom and dad and following through? I mean, we have the Ten Commandments that give us this big line, and so how is that coming? Some of us have been just simply tested by this idea of co-educators that we've never wanted to be, right? We have technology we didn't even want to play with. Now we're on Facebook. We're on all of these things, right? I mean, come on. The tests and trials of the day are real and true. We have been tried in all of these ways. So we're starting, as you can tell, we're starting a three-week series called Game Over. Today, we're going to jump into this letter from James on trials, tests, and tribulations. Maybe some of you remember it. What a great place to jump into in this moment of history to really refine and remember and really kind of put ourselves through the refining fire of what it means to become a better follower of Jesus. Just prior to the text, let's understand the context of the letter. James, it is believed, was the that wrote this letter is Jesus' half-brother. Can you imagine being Jesus' half-brother? Just allow that to rumble in your head a little bit. Allow the imagination to go off. This is one of, by the way, all of these things. Jesus is perfect. Why can't you be like him, James? All that kind of stuff. But can you imagine this? Can you imagine this? This is one of the weightiest arguments for Jesus being the Messiah and the Son of the living God. James writes this letter, and he gives weight to the fact that his half-brother, Jesus, is the Messiah. You can't read past that. That is something substantive, and it's not only found in this letter of James, but you can find it in Acts. He was a great leader in the Church of Jerusalem, a Jewish follower of Jesus. And just a wonderful, wonderful argument. Now, James is writing this letter to the church, and to the Jewish followers that have been scattered during this day. They were likely scattered due to persecution and the tensions that were beginning to build in the conflict that was going to come to head in Rome in about AD 66. And you can go ahead in your history books and remind yourself of what was going to happen there and what did happen. But in the midst of this chaos, within and without, James writes these words to us. He writes these words to us from James, in James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Consider it pure joy. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. That's a word for today, folks. It's a word for our time in history. It's a word for us. As we continue, he states this process clearly of trials, tests, and even temptation brings us to complete maturity. It's something that we wouldn't think or we don't desire. We don't walk into the fire willingly, and yet the fire refines us. What we'll find out and what we know is the true, what is true is the opposite. If we do not persevere, this is what comes to fruition. This is what comes to fruition. Trials, tests, and temptations have the potential to paralyze our relationship with God with their mission to lure us from life into death. He's talking to believers in this letter. He's talking to believers who have said, I'm following Jesus. They understand what it is to move from death to life, and now they're following Jesus. And he's trying to get them aware. He's trying to awaken them to the fact that these trials and tests and even the temptations that we'll go through can lure them from the very life they have in Jesus to the death that they were already in. Jesus tells us these words in John 10:10. The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. And my purpose is to give them rich and satisfying life. That's what Jesus came, or the abundant life we're used to hearing. The mission and purpose of the evil one is to pull us from the life giver, from the creator. And we have to understand that life wishes to pull us away from that. The accuser wishes to pull us away from the very life we have in Jesus and into death, or into the mundane of the world, if you will. So as we get into our passage, let's take a look at these words from James 1, verses 12 through 18. It says this. I think. We'll get to it here in a second. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Now, I want you to see this right at the very top of this section of Scripture that we're looking at. It says, God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation, those who endure it, those who hang in there, because afterward they will receive a crown of life that God has promised to him, that they will receive what God has given, what God has promised them. And he is the promise keeper. And remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else. It's almost as if in this passage of Scripture that James is talking to someone who says, wait a second, I'm being tempted, and it seems as if God is tempting me. And he's saying to them, no, temptation does not come from God. In fact, in verse 14, it continues, it says this, temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. It gives birth to death. So don't be misled, he starts in verse 16, my dear brothers and sisters, whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from heaven, from God our Father, who is the who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. He chose to give birth to us by giving us his true word. And we, out of creation, became his prized possession. Can you believe that? That we became his prized possession, that he desired us, and he desires us to give us the gift that he has given to us. What we need to come to understand is that resisting temptation is a facet of the follower's training. Every aspect that we have in temptation, we have the ability to grow. It's a facet of our resistance training. I want you to take a look at this video. These boys and girls were put to the test. Now, we may not have a marshmallow test before us, but we definitely, if we wait, we will have an abundance of life. Watch this. Well, friends, we are not tempted by marshmallows very often. Yeah, Father, we're tempted by much more things, but it is kind of humorous to watch those kids, right? Especially the twins and different ones. But we're tempted. We're tempted by very real things in our lives. What happens, though, when we resist the temptation? Will we get two marshmallows? What will we get? Well, we're told that we get life, but there are some other things that I believe that we get that come along with the life that Jesus has promised us. When we resist temptation, when we go through resistance training, what really is growing in us? We learn that faith and trust grows in us. Faith and trust grows in us. It's the aspect that gives birth to growing more. We have a picture of a gentleman who's lifting weights. The idea that as he lifts those weights, he grows stronger. The resistance, the gravity pulls at the weights down, and he grows stronger in his arms. Yet we grow stronger in our faith, in our trust of God, as we continue to resist the link, resist the temptation and the tests, the trials that are before us, and we walk through them faithfully. We can carry ourselves through the day. We also grow in endurance. It says that as we endure patiently, we can grow stronger in that way. Tests and trials are just simply a way of life. And if we think about it, life won't be test-free or trial-free or temptation-free. I mean, we sometimes get this idea that possibly if we say yes to Jesus, if we walk in his life, that he will free us from those things. And we're only fooling ourselves. Jesus himself says, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And so can we. So I have this picture of somebody who's in a long run. There seems to be just one road going, and he's running down this road. And many times when I run and I have a mileage that I want to get in, I make sure that I run one direction that is half the distance, and I know that I have to make it all the way back. I grow my ability in my lungs, I grow my ability in my legs, I grow my ability in my body to go the long haul, and we do too. When we have in our minds, when we fixed in our minds that we can make the long haul, we grow in endurance, and we grow in it patiently, and we realize that it comes over a period of time. Lastly, there's one thing that we grow in it and we're given, and it's life. It's life. And probably one of the best ways that I could imagine life in these days is really the picture that we use in a lot of our things, and it's just having a meal with one another, just the fellowship of one another, to be able to feast together and to enjoy one another's company and to share the joys and even the sorrows face to face. As we've been stating, you cannot stand the test. You can't stand the trials or the temptation on your own. There's no amount of good looks or charisma that will get you through. And some of us have been attempting to do that. We have been attempting to get through on some of our own power, our own will, our own drive. Yet it needs to be combined with the power of God. Solomon could tell you story after story if he were here, over and over and over again. He had all the wisdom in the world and still could not steer his life from becoming bankrupt on his own appetite, on his own desires, and falling into the tests and trials and the temptations that were around him. The good thing is that Paul reminds us of what is true. And what was reminded of, Paul reminded them in 1 Corinthians 10 of what is true. And now, let me just tell you a little bit about Corinth in order to for you to picture this. Corinth was this port city that had just a plethora of opportunity before it. Not only religious deities were all over the place, but just a lot of things that a major city, port city of that day would have. And it was filled with just diversity that were diversity of thought and behavior that was unbecoming a follower. Just unbecoming of a follower. Yet, even in this city, he stated to these followers of Jesus, these Christians, this statement from 1 Corinthians 10, 1 Corinthians 10, 12 through 13. He says, "If you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience, and God is faithful. And he will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure it." As I said earlier, some of you have, we know we're in a test, we know we're in trials, and some of you have been right up to the edge and you have allowed temptation to give birth to death, to sin, and allowing to give birth to death. How do we know that we have a way out? Where do we go? What are the tools that we have in order to get our attention fixed on God, our mind, heart, and soul back on God? And even if we haven't succumbed to temptation, temptation's always around there. So how do we know the way out? Well, the way out, there are three ways that I'm going to illustrate over the next couple of weeks, not today, but in the next couple of weeks. The way out is God's word. In this passage from James, in this letter that he writes, he says, you've been given a gift, and it's God's word. If you go to Psalm chapter 1, you'll understand that as we allow ourselves to be immersed in God's word, we will stand strong. Our roots will go deep in him. We've been also given the Holy Spirit. If you didn't know, in a couple of weeks, it's Pentecost Sunday. The gift of the Holy Spirit has been deposited on the whole community of followers of Jesus. And we have the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:11 tells us that we've passed from law into the Spirit. We've passed from one mode of living toward God to the ability to live in God because we've been empowered by God. And can I just tell you the last one that we're going to talk about, or the one that's going to be included in the next couple of weeks, is kingdom community. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're not just and you attend YFM. You are not just a kingdom kid here. You're a kingdom kid wherever the kingdom is and wherever it gives life. And so when Acts gives birth to the kingdom, when we see the first church expand and the Holy Spirit blow out the doors, and those said, I want to follow Jesus, you have become part of that. Yet, even as followers of Jesus, and those of you who may be listening who have yet to surrender to Jesus, if these don't become available to you or don't make sense to you until you do one thing. I'm going to use two words to illustrate it, but one thing, and that is to surrender and submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ. The resistance training that we go through only makes sense if we're a follower of Jesus and we're using the resources of heaven at our fingertips in order to grow. But first, before all of that, we have to surrender and submit. We have to declare. We have to want to follow Jesus. Jesus himself says this, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way and take up your cross daily and follow me. If you're trying to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. This idea of surrender and submit to the lordship of Jesus is ultimate. It's an ask that it's hard. It's a hard path, but it is a rewarding path that gives life and death. And the only way that we can do that, the only way that we can live and embrace the new life of which we can and he wants us to have is by pushing the game over button. See, we have to push that button and say it's game over for my way of doing things, my thoughts, my will, my desires, those type of things. He wants us to live in him, and we have to push the game over button. Can I just ask, through these tests, trials, and temptations that we have been in collectively, and some of us have individual ones that we have been dealing with, have you been pushing the game over button on a daily basis? You see, he said to daily follow him, daily take up our own cross and follow him. And that's a game over button every day. Lord, it is not me, it is you. Lord, it's not my will, it's your will. Lord, it's your fruit that needs to be evident in my life. It's your words that need to be evident in my life. Have you been hitting the game over button when it comes to the test, trials, and temptation? When the anger starts to rise up, do you counter it with the Spirit's presence to bring in gentleness, self-control, love, and mercy? Or do you just let it rise and do its thing and create havoc? I implore you, friends, as we continue in this journey through COVID-19, just to allow these moments to be a reconfiguration, a realignment, not to the world around us, but really to the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you that you gave us and give us a way out. I thank you, Father, that you have given us yourself, the power of the Spirit to live in. And Father, I ask that in these days, Lord, we would become a people who would willingly surrender, willingly submit to you in these days. Friends, maybe you have had some tests and temptations in these last weeks. They're trials you have not succeeded in. Can I just ask you to push the button and say the game's over. Just hit the button and follow Jesus today. For those of you who have never said yes, those of you who have said yes to Jesus, you pray and hit the game over button. For those of you who have never asked Jesus into your life, you can ask him into your life and follow him now. Just say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus, your Son, and my Savior. I thank you that he died on the cross to forgive my sins. And I pray, Father, that You will take my love and my life because I choose to follow and live for you. Friends, if you did that today, would you let us know? Whether you recommitted, whether you would want prayer because you're hitting the game over button, we want to know it. We want to come alongside you in these moments. God bless you.